Well, it's not live, but it's not Memorex. I'm not even sure if Memorex exists. It's the news, according to me. Memorex.
I don't know. What's that?
I don't know. It's Tuesday morning, August 27th, 8:40. 8:85. What's that? That's not a time. I'm living in a different dimension. It's 8:46 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. 2024, still. As it is still. And I have in my hand my cup. I'm just going to start right off with that. I got my creamer, my Almond Joy creamer in my creamy chai. I have a rather unique backup cup this morning. This is my, I'm getting very low on my homemade sweet. I'll probably make some more sweet tea here today or tomorrow. Because I'm going to be planning this, we're going to be going on this big long trip over the weekend. A big sailing trip we're going to be going on to Chicago, a big Chi-Town. I'm going to go to Chi-Town, ride our bikes up and down the Lakeshore Drive on Sunday. It's about a 30-mile ride. And then get done with that. We'll head back on Monday. And I go back to work on Tuesday. Looking forward to that. Not. At least I'm getting some things done. I've got a four-car garage that only right now it only fits one car because I've got so much, I'll say it, crap in my garage. Just one thing after another happens. It's the things just start to pile up, and the next thing you know, family member passes away, and we have inherited a bunch of stuff that we have to deal with, and then another family member passes away, and it's just stuff starts piling up. Well, I'm going through it all now. And of course, once the pile starts, then you just start piling on, because where else are you going to put it? I literally have pulled everything out of my garage and reorganizing things, putting up pegboard. I've already had a bunch of pegboard. Just pulling everything off and having, it's going to be a place for everything and everything in its place. That'll last about 20 minutes. I'll be able to get all my cars in, hopefully all for the whole winter. Well, I can't get all my cars in, but it's ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. I have too many cars. But at least I can get the ones I drive all the time, so I'm not always constantly dealing with the snow, the rain, and the cold, tree sap on my cars. I have at least be able to get three cars in. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get three cars in. Is that a good part of my one? Of course, then I got another garage. I could probably get them all in if I really wanted to. But it's not going to happen. I have what was I going to talk about? My tea. I've got my tea here. I have this homemade sweet tea. I've got a little twist to it. I didn't think my homemade sweet tea could get any better, and I was wrong. I rarely admit this, but I was actually wrong about something. Wrong about my sweet tea. We got these peaches. They were normally we try to get Michigan peaches. These were California peaches, I believe. And they just aren't as good. Of course, now, the reason for that, typically, when you buy fruit in the market, when that fruit was picked, it probably wasn't ripe. They let it ripen during the transport process. That's part of their whole thing. That's why when you get bananas, they're sometimes green still, and then you kind of let them ripen as you. No, it's just if you pick bananas yourself, you'd probably pick them when they're just about to turn brown. That's when they're the sweetest. Of course, that's when the bugs eat them. So the peaches, Michigan peaches, tend to be better, and probably because they're fresher. The ones we get here are probably picked closer to their actual ripened on the vine kind of thing, ripened on the tree. And of course, Georgia peaches I think are pretty good too. But if you're in Georgia, There's a Georgia peach that it's pretty good. I'm not sure if they're what they're called. Wallen peaches. Whatever they're called. What the type of peach? So we had these peaches left over from these California peaches. I think we got Michigan peaches the next time. I think. Got a whole bunch of other peaches. So these other peaches were kind of laying around, and we didn't eat them as quickly because they weren't as sweet and they just weren't as good. We had a couple left. I ended up slicing one up and putting it in my tea. And I have to say, I've had peach tea, the bottled peach tea all the time. You know, and it's got that, it's got, sometimes it's way over strong peach flavor. It's just way too much peach. It's like peach juice with tea somewhere in the background. This, I have to say, having fresh peaches in your tea. Now, I remember when I used to go to Olive Garden, they used to have peach Bellini tea. It was awesome. And they actually put real peaches in the drink. You get two or three slices of peach, real peach, in your tea. That was the best part, getting to the bottom of the glass and just eating the peach. So I have this, I've got my one cup here where I put like three or four slices of peaches in there. And then I also have my big pitcher that was, I put the rest of the slices in there. I'm looking forward to eating those peaches later on, but I have, the key there is that you can't let it sit too long because the peaches will turn brown. And again, then it turns the tea funky, but it's in the meantime. Oh my. I have to say that's some of the best tea I've ever had. I mean, it's my signature sweet tea with real peaches in it. I don't know what to say. I don't know how much better could it get. It's one of the best vacations ever, just because that's. Anyway, I have some interesting things have been going on. First of all, the Democrats are panicking. They are scared out of their wits right now. They're all coming out with all this, RFK Jr.'s not, he's just the fringe of the radical fringe weirdo thing. He's just adding to the weirdness on the side of the Trumps there. It's just all these weirdos. It's a big party of weirdness. Yeah, right. Just keep wrapping yourself up in that. We have a candidate. Now, this tells you something about, there's a lot of things that we can go over here about the Democrats right now and their party, the way they want to push their agenda on everyone, or their culture, their way of doing business. I'm all kind of rattled up today. The Catholic Church, I take some flack from people that, Protestants and evangelicals, but I've got some friends who are in the Catholic Church. And there's some people I respect that are members of the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church. And I have to say, I am extremely, I have some serious issues. And the problem, one of the biggest problems I have with the Catholic Church is that you're supposed to submit to the Catholic Church. Somehow I'm not supposed to be, that my mere disagreement and my mere pushback on some of the things that they believe and say, well, that's like, I'm a heretic. How dare I disagree with them? Because they're infallible. They're right. Their doctrine is pure and holy, and whatever the Pope says is it supersedes the Scripture. If you therein is a problem right there, and if my problem with that problem is that that's a problem. It's how dare I? That's the problem I've got right there. And I've had some online discussions. I've had posted a couple comments on some videos. This is just like little things like this. For example, Jesus hanging on the cross, and he says to his disciples who were there, he said, "This, behold your mother, behold your children." He was talking to Mary and the disciples that were there, saying, she's not your mother. He was not saying that she was the mother of us all in that moment. If you say, you have no understanding of Jewish culture and law, and you call yourself a theologian, and yet in the midst of and you build a whole church doctrine based on this idea that, oh, that's what he was doing. That's what he was saying right there. That's what he was doing. You have no idea. You just come up with this stuff. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Well, Petros and Petra are two different words. He looks at Peter and says, you are a pebble, and on this boulder I will build my church. And the boulder he's talking about is his confession of faith. Right before that, what was the context of him saying that? He just out of the blue say, oh, you're the Pope now. You're the Pope. What's a Pope? Peter would look at that and say, what's a Pope? There's no Pope in the Jewish faith.
But we're not Jewish.
Oh, yes, our Savior is Jewish. He was born a Jew, taught as a Jew, raised as a Jew, circumcised as a Jew, baptized as a Jew, taught as a Jew. 99% of his teachings would be Pharisee teachings. It's because they didn't recognize him. He was crucified as a Jew. And he's going to come back as a Catholic with a little pointy hat. I don't understand the logic here. And somehow in the midst of all this, he's making Peter the Pope. Now, this is Jesus. Peter confessed him to be the Christ. He said, who do you say that I am? He said, well, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And he didn't even understand the fullness of what he was saying there. And this is when Jesus said, you are a pebble. And on this rock, I will build my church. On this confession of faith. Because you've made this statement of faith, you are now a pebble. Comes from Iraq. Not Iraq. A rock. So the Catholic Church takes this as, oh, no, he's the Pope. No, he's the Pope. He's made him the Pope. Right there, he made him the Pope. And yet, somehow, Rabbi Shaul, Paul, the apostle, writes most of the New Testament. We hear very little of Peter, other than out of the second chapter of Acts and his in first and second Peter. Very little. And yet he's the Pope. And he had children, by the way. He was married with kids, as far as we know, apparently. So, but the Pope can't be married. Priests can't be married. Roman Catholic Church. just very odd things. Now my understanding. Now, if you, and of course, I've one of the arguments I got into was, well, what about the Inquisition? What about the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages? The whole thing started with this whole thing of the Bible being chained to the pulpit, and this guy was making. Well, you know, it was because Bibles back then were very expensive. It cost 3 years' wages to purchase a Bible. And so they had to chain it to the pulpit so nobody would walk off with it. Because, you know, people want to steal Bibles. Because it says right in there, don't steal. That's why you want to steal it. So somebody might steal the Bible. Well, somebody might steal it. The reason they're so rare. Why is the reason it's so rare? Well, because we don't allow anybody to just print them. Because, you know, we'll have to kill you for that. Look at the life of Tyndale. Look at the life of Gutenberg. Their whole reason for making the printing press is to print Bibles, especially to print them in people's language that they can understand. So the Bible was printed in Latin. It wasn't the common language of common man. It was chained to a pulpit. Because we didn't want anybody to just, it's like a pen, you know, at the bank. They put the chain on the pen. No, not anymore, they don't. There's a basket of pens there, and they want you to take them because it has their name on it. There were people who fled from Europe because of the persecution that they were under from the Roman Catholic Church. So don't tell me this wasn't about control and power. Maybe it didn't start off that way, but it didn't take long for that to happen. The confessionals, by the way. People are... I don't care whether you're in the church or not, but the confessionals became a way of manipulating people. When you have a popular person in the community going in to confess that they've done something wrong, and the priest winks at them in the church meeting and says, "I'll keep your secret as long as you do what I tell you to do. I know your secrets, buddy." Behind the scenes, all the political stuff that was going on. Can't tell me that didn't happen. I know it's been documented as having happened. And it's supposedly, one of the arguments I came out with, I said, the Roman Catholic Church has never apologized for the people it killed officially in the name of the church. Not just members of the church. The church sanctioned murder, executions. Destruction, genocide, all kinds of things, atrocious, horrendous things. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be forgiven for it. I'm not saying that there's not forgiveness available to them. I'm not saying that they're condemned and going to hell. I'm saying they need to apologize. There needs to be a confession of their sins, of the church, the official church, the infallible pope, who supposedly is infallible and yet has committed great atrocities that were admitted back in the 90s. By the way, I think it was Pope John Paul II. I think John Paul II, was that who it was? Back in the 90s, made this official statement. Listen carefully to what he said. He apologized for things that the members of the church did. That's like General Motors coming out and saying, "We're sorry that some people who drive our cars crashed them." And you know, that people were killed in some of our cars. The people who drove the cars, the people who owned the cars, drove them and crashed and died. It's like saying the owners of Pintos that blew up, caught on fire. Ford apologizes for the owners. Doing, you know, parking their cars on roads and getting them killed because they broke down in the middle of it. That happened just a few miles from my house here, by the way. It happened on US 33 between Goshen and Elkhart. A Ford Pinto broke down, was parked on the highway. I believe there was three or four young ladies in the car. We got struck from behind, car burst into flames because of the way they designed the fuel filling tube. The girls weren't at fault with that. They don't need to apologize. The person who hit them was at fault for hitting them, yes, couldn't see them. For whatever reason, Ford was at fault for the way that thing blew up. The issue I have here is that I'm tired of the, oh, we're our doctrine is sound and secure, and yet we can't. Yeah, we made mistakes. Oh, but just this says it. You says here you can't make mistakes because you're infallible. So what? Which is it? I got off on a tangent there. Let's go talk about politics. The two things you shouldn't talk about in public is politics and religion. And I'm talking about both of them because that's just the way I roll. I guess I don't know. Cause I'm crazy. I'm out of control. I have. A friend of mine, I'd like to interview him. He probably knows more about this stuff than I do. He's probably sitting there going, no, Kevin, you're wrong. He's got a church history is his thing, man. He knows a lot of stuff about church history. He's probably forgotten more than I'll ever learn. And he still knows more than I. Anyway, onward and upward. Interesting thing happened in Wayne County. I believe Wayne County is Detroit, I believe, if I understand correctly. A major county. It's either Detroit or Grand Rapids. I think it's Detroit. Pretty sure it's Detroit. Detroit, by the way, is not the capital of Michigan. It's Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids is the second largest city in Michigan. I don't live in Michigan, but it is a neighbor of the state that I'm in here. So we have an issue here, apparently, and I think that there's lots of lawsuits flying now from the Trump campaign. There were several hundred. My understanding is there was over. I guess I think it was closer to 1,000 people who were rejected from being poll workers in Wayne County, who happened to be Republicans. They accepted about 700 poll workers in Wayne County that are Republicans. They accepted applications from almost 2,400 Democrats. A little bit, I would say, a little bit obscure. There, a little bit off balance, you might say. This is what democracy looks like. Again, double standards. We have a candidate that nobody voted for, who doesn't want to talk to the people. Again, very strange. This is odd. This to have someone out there going around the country doing a repeating the same speech over and over and over, reading from a teleprompter. I don't think they get it. They think that they can go out there, put on this show. Now, by the way, I thought that there would be a bump because there's usually the bumps that happen in polls are typically they take some time. And I've always said this. I've always tried to explain this to people. They don't seem to get it. I've noticed this trend in polling, and I'm surprised the guys who do the polling don't say anything about this. When things happen, and the polling gets like just like this RFK Jr. thing. This is what's going to happen here is the big event happened last Friday, right at the end of the DNC. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to see the polls over the next 2 weeks. We're going to see the result of that. It's not going to have been that the very next day. Now you can take some poll. Most people aren't even aware of what's going on. It starts to trickle down and people start to find out about it and they start to learn more about it. The general population is not hanging on everything that's going on politically in the country. They're going about their lives. They have lives. I don't have a life. So that's and I talk to people once in a while who say, I hear him say this. Oh, I don't pay attention to politics. I don't listen to either one of those guys. There's a guy named Wrangler Star, and actually Dr. Hurley. There's a guy named Dr. Hurley that had a really good show yesterday. Listened to most of it. But this Wrangler Star, he apparently there's a lot of controversy around this guy. He had a little YouTube channel. It was got pretty
popular.
And I had to push the cough button there. Apparently more chai is required. So he had this YouTube channel, and it was basically kind of an off-grid style kind of wilderness living out there in the raw kind of thing, kind of in a survival type thing, kind of. He's not off grid, but he might have claimed he was, but he wasn't really. That was part of the controversy. Of course, then in the middle of the whole thing, I think he ended up getting, I think he got separated or whatever was going on with his wife. I had some weird beliefs. He's got some weird stuff going on. I recently heard a short because I page through a lot of shorts and on YouTube. Of course, my dog is doing his thing now. I have the. Why does this happen every day? It happens every day. And one of the things he said, you know, after the assassination attempt and all this stuff happened, he goes, I really don't care. I don't care. I can't remember what it was. I was shocked and amazed by the statements that he was making. I don't care. That doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me. I care about my daughter and my neighbor and my family. Well, this and he went on this whole thing and he kept saying, I don't care. I don't care about any of that. I got to focus on this and this and this. You know, he always says, beloved, I'm here. You know, he always calls everybody beloved who's listening to his channel. Beloved. Well, how do you call us beloved if you don't care? And my first thought was, can you call yourself a believer? I don't know that. I have read the Bible several times through. Maybe I've missed it. But I don't recall any time that Jesus ever said, I don't care. I don't recall any time where God said, I don't care. And maybe I'm just missing it in translation or something. Maybe it's there. I just don't know it. But that just doesn't sound like the heart of God to me. I don't care about any of that. I don't care that the president was almost shot and somebody died in the process and two other people almost died. And a young man who was very deranged lost his life that day. And I don't care. What is that? The whole incident should break your heart. I'm not telling you how to react or what to think or whatever. I don't know. It just tells me a little bit about where you're at, I guess. I don't know. I just, am I off the my rocker here? Am I going too far to the left or something? Have I been eating too much soy? Anyway, so there's that guy. I don't know where I was going with that. But this whole thing in Michigan, in Wayne County. Of course, now you know who's in charge of Michigan. The AG and everything else that's going on up there. Now, keep in mind, this is the place where they were covering up windows and weren't allowing anybody to inspect and see what was going on behind the scenes there. There's going to be lawsuits. I don't know if they're going to get anywhere with it because, of course, the AG, the state of Michigan has to, you know, it's a cabal. There's, you have to understand this whole network of lawyers and how things work in many states in the country, and especially when the liberals start to get involved, the leftists start to get involved, when the activist judges and the activist AGs and lawyers and everything else, prosecutors to get involved. Arkansas, by the way, has been this way for a very, very long time. But back in the 70s, when the Clintons started to come into their little realm of power back then. By the way, John Stewart, speaking of the Clintons. he was slamming the leftists pretty hard on the convention. I think the reason I think is because he realizes they're losing. He doesn't want them to lose, and he's trying to say, "Hey, you guys are you're idiots. Straighten up and fly right, or we're going to lose this thing." He doesn't want them to lose. He wants them to win. The problem is he's seeing the hypocrisy. He's seeing the issues here. He's like he's trying to wake them up. And he gets this. He says. This person that comes on and talks about making fun of billionaires and talking about how they're Bernie Sanders comes on, you know, billionaires, going to go after these billionaires. These billionaires are tax. And the next person they have on is Pritcher, who is a billionaire. A very happy billionaire. And then he has something else. It was something about people who go to Yale. You know, making fun of people who go to Yale because Walz came out, Tim Walz, the VP candidate. He comes out and he starts talking about, I went to school. None of them went to Yale. There were 24 people in my class and none of them went to Yale. Trying to make himself out to be this little. And of course, then they have like 7 or 8 people that come on that are from Yale. Democrat Party there. And he's pointing this stuff out. And he says, and they talk about, you know, predators and sexual predators and stuff. And then they come out with, and then he doesn't say anything. All he does is put up a picture of Bill Clinton, who actually spoke at the convention. But he's not a pig. No, he's a wonderful guy. He's not a womanizer or any kind of a, you know, sexual predator who took advantage of an intern in the Oval Office. Lied about it, and then finally confessed to it. The only one we know of, I guarantee you it wasn't the one and only. And he's also confessed to Jennifer Flowers. He's also confessed to a few other things. And there's been several other allegations that are credible, that actually have other witnesses involved. But, you know... But Donald Trump's the enemy. You've never heard Hollywood come out and say anything bad about Bill Clinton, other than, you know, just a few fringe people. They're finally willing to say some things now because he's irrelevant. I guarantee if he would run for president again, or it's the whole thing, having Hillary in there is... Anyway. This is what we're up against again, this whole Wayne County thing. Meanwhile, Kamala. We have a lot of this, I don't know. We have a lot of, I crack myself up. I sit here in a rubber room and I crack myself up. I have a drinking chai. We have a candidate who seems to just think that they can put on this show, you know, this big production number. They have a DNC for 4 days, and all they do is bash Trump. It's just bash Trump, bash Trump, bash Trump. There's no policy, nothing of any kind of substance. We're going to promise you the world. We're going to make sure we have 3 million homes. We're going to build 3 million homes. We're going to give everybody $25,000 for a down payment. We're going to do this. We're going to throw money at you. We're going to give you $6,000 for child tax credit. We're going to give you all this money. We're just going to keep giving you money. Here's the problem we've got right now. This is the basic economics here. Let me just cover this a little bit. Just my understanding. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not talking English right now. I can't. Basic economics. I'm not a doctor. Not a lawyer. Not a financial counselor. But this much I do know. Let's just give you a little example. Let's say we have 100 people in a little community. It's a little closed community. And everybody has, you know, there's a certain number of houses. You know, there's enough houses for everybody. There's, you know, enough money to go around. Everybody's got a job. Everybody's got their little thing, the way they, contribute to the community. And they all pass their little paper slips around. Let's see how much they're worth, their time is worth. Some have to work harder than others because some work smarter than others. And it's just the way it works. Some provide services that others, you know. So we got this whole thing going on. And those that, you know, that can make more money, then they end up investing in things that provide for other people. So that's just the way it works. So, all of a sudden, in the door comes 20 more people, and they have to have a place to live. Well, there's not enough housing. So now they get 120 people competing for the housing for 100 people. What are we going to do about that? Well, we're going to give everybody, we're just going to, because, you know, housing prices now are going to go up because now everybody's bidding on, you know, this kind of deals. We're going to, by the way, those 20 people that came in, we're just going to give them a bunch of money. And we're gonna provide more money to people who want to buy a house because, you know, democracy. So we have to give more people money so they can compete, and the housing prices can go up. So we have to give them more money. So that no one can afford a house at some point. You know who makes out on this whole deal? The banks. That's who makes out on it. Because they just keep financing for, instead of, RFK Jr. said, you know, I think it was it six years ago? The average home in America was $201,000. The average home in America now is over $400,000. Hello. And we think we can just continue to have people come into the country and we're going to just build homes. This is where the whole idea of affordable housing, you have to understand why houses aren't affordable. First, the cost of building, of course, has gone up. But you can't just build homes and give them away, or you can't just build homes and the basics of economics here. And I'm not an economist. I'm not a expert at this stuff. It's basic math, and people don't sit down and think about it and actually cover the whole from the ground up, the whole foundational process of, okay, we have this many houses, we have this many people. How does this work? How is this going to work out? What does it mean to have affordable housing? And it just, you have to do the math on this. And it's not that builders are gouging. It's not that, well, now, in some cases, it is realtors that are sometimes gouging. And banks that'll loan people money that shouldn't be given money. This whole thing drives up the prices, drives up the cost, because now you have too much money in the market where it doesn't belong. It's always, I always hear this, and it's never really been explained very well by the conservative right wing of the country they really need to educate people on this because they don't understand it. It's, you have too much money chasing too few goods causes the prices to go up. In other words, you have people who are able to afford to buy a new car because they're getting financing or whatever. Either they have cash or they have financing. You got a little 19-year-old finance a $40,000 car. So that means that the other 30-year-olds and everybody else out there that's wants to buy that car, there's only five cars. There's only a certain number of cars. And so in the meantime, because of this, so if you want that car, you have to pay more for it. The dealer's not going to go, well, there's a lot of people out here buy that car for $40,000. If you want it, you're going to pay $45,000. That's when prices go above sticker. Because there's only so many of them. If you want it, you got to pay more. Sorry. I got a guy over here that'll give me $45,000 for that car. Well, I'll give you $50,000. The reason they can give him $50,000 is because there's too much money out there. And the next thing you know, the dollar becomes worth less. Because the same car that should have cost $40,000, actually should have cost $20,000, all of a sudden costs $40,000, and now it's cost $50,000. Same car. Still going to rust out. Still going to break down. But there you go. Same thing with food. So we have a crazy setup here, folks. We're being duped. So Kamala is out there running around the country, not giving any interviews, by the way. Now she agreed to this. Well, you know, this was the debate that we had planned with Joe Biden. And Joe Biden set up all these rules. About the microphone and such. Of course, now they figured out, oh, you know what? We probably shouldn't shut the microphone off because we need to have Donald Trump saying his little comments in the background. That made him look better by shutting him down. Because they allowed Trump, Biden to speak the whole time. It's going to be the same thing with Kamala Harris. And then one of the things I want to bring up about this, about the way Kamala Harris is, you'll notice this in conversation. And I notice it a lot. Again, because I'm in the voiceover world, I'm in the recording and script writing thing. How do you present a powerful presentation? All this kind of things. Delivery is a lot of our speech, of our ability to communicate. I cannot stand to listen to Karine Jean-Pierre. I think she's on her way out, by the way. She's going to make it to the end of the term here, but I think she has checked out. She knows she's done. She knows she's not going to be in the next administration. Even if it's Kamala, she's not going to be the press secretary. She knows her job is closing down. She has maybe 4 months, five months left, basically, regardless of what happens. So she's looking for other employment. She will probably go back to being a contributor on CNN or MSNBC. That's where she's going to be. That's where, Jen Psaki's got her own show now. The whole thing. That's how it happens. All of a sudden, they become you know, the left wing, Stephanopoulos, all these people, they get jobs in the press, in the media. She cannot communicate. Oh my word, it's so disgusting. She will repeat herself and repeat herself and stumble and stammer. She looks down at her paper. She closes her eyes. She does all this weird communication stuff. It is terrible, horrible communication skills. And here she is communicating one of the most important communication jobs in the country. She's terrible at it. And we have Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, you say, she repeats herself all the time. Now, this is what she will do in a debate. She will continue to repeat herself. When she's asked a question about inflation, she starts talking about what inflation is. How are you going to stop inflation? Well, let's take it from the let's just break it down. The cost of milk has gone up. The cost of bread has gone up. The cost of housing has gone up. And people are feeling the tension. And they're stressed. And she's, you know, she's holding her hands out. She's trying to explain things with her hands because she can't articulate it. That's how people talk with their hands. I use my hands quite a bit when I'm talking, but it's more of a I don't like try to draw things in the sky. Nancy Pelosi tries to draw a picture with her hands in the sky. Kamala does the same thing. Up there in the cloud above us. It's where all your information is. It's up there in that cloud up there. It's out there in the sky. Right? She actually believes there's a cloud out there, apparently, that's up there. It's just out there in the atmosphere. Not on a server in a data center someplace that Kevin Neely, whatever his name is. Mr. Wonderful from the Shark Tank. He's building data centers all over the country. That's where the cloud is, folks. I hate to tell you, but it's actually on a piece of silicon. Anyway, he ends up, she repeats herself over and over. And they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. They shouldn't stop. And they're not going to stop because they're not going to stop. She just fills up the time with the same phrase and the same word over and over again. This is a person with low IQ. She'll talk to you like you're a child because that's the way she thinks. She thinks she's explaining something to you because that's the level of which she can explain it, because that's the only level she knows. And once in a while, she'll come up with this little arctic, I know Donald Trump's type. I wouldn't be surprised if she pulls that line into the debate somehow. So now she's trying to change the rules in the debate. She wants to open the mic now, so there's no mic shut off during the debate, so that she can let Donald Trump speak. Because you know, if Trump just lets her speak, they will have sound clips and sound bites for the next 10 years. There is, in my opinion, there's no way. The things that are happening right now, with the Trump campaign. Now, there are stupid people out there that are just, I was recently asked, you know, so if Donald Trump wins, do you think they're just going to settle down? No. No, they're going to quadruple down on Donald Trump. You know, you thought there was a lot of screaming and yelling about it the first time. You are going to see, they're probably going to burn Washington, D.C. down. Look at what they did the first time he was elected. There was the crowd in the stadium the night that RFK, I think that this had a profound impact. Personally, the impact that Bobby Kennedy Jr. has on the campaign right now, I think is it's not just one-sided. I have to understand the political mind of some of these people. Kamala, and by the way, when she stood up to do her acceptance speech on Friday night, I don't know if this actually happened. I couldn't stand watching it. Somebody said while they were applauding her when she first stood up there that she said thank you, and I think Donald Trump, I think, actually made fun of her. She thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think she said thank you 31 times. If that's correct, it might have been just exaggerating. I watched her say it at least 12, and I was like, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. This is a person who loves basking in the spotlight, loves basking in the applause and the, I hate to say it, but it's this phoniness. She can't get beyond that. She can't get on a personal level with anybody. She can do the speech if she's reading it from a teleprompter. Donald Trump can get up and talk, and he can draw 50,000 people into a stadium without a concert. Now, there's usually other people talking and entertainers and that kind of thing happen. There's music and all. But I think the effect this must have had on Robert. I don't know that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has ever spoken to such a large crowd in his life. And he got up and spoke. I think I heard this in his voice when he got up and he was speaking. Go beyond his physical issues that he has with his voice. The tone and temper of his speech, which I thought was a very good speech, very cordial, very balanced. Understand, just flat out admitting, hey, we don't agree on everything, but we do agree on some things. People need to be healthy. People need to be, we need to make America healthy again. So some of the things that were said. I thought this was a very reasonable, just down to earth, common sense stuff. It was the beginning of the unification, I think, of our country in some ways. But talk about being a unifier and not a divider. All we hear from the left is a yelling old man that, well, how dare you? Who does he think he is? And the Kamala campaign had nothing to do, would have nothing to do, wouldn't even have a discussion with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Tulsi Gabbard, I think on Monday, it was yesterday, might have been Sunday, came out and officially endorsed the Trump campaign. I've got some issues with Tulsi, but again, she's a reasonable person. I would much rather see a Tulsi Gabbard become president than Kamala Harris any day of the week. I think I could survive eight years of Tulsi. I don't think our country would last in a year. There's policies I'm going to disagree with Tulsi, but it's at the same time, she has really come around. She's starting to see and understand the dangers of the deep state, that kind of thing, a big part of it. So, I think that the Democrats are shaking in their shoes right now. They're very insecure. They're saying all the things. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. Oh, well, Robert, no, I don't think this is going to matter. No, he's just a fringe lunatic. He's a weirdo. He's a wacko. Well, that's what we heard. Now, it will be very interesting to see what happens. Now, RFK Jr., by the way, has been under investigation and all kinds of other things in the past. He's been censored. All kinds of stuff's happened to him. I think that that's going to ramp up. Don't be surprised if the FBI all of a sudden, ever since he made this announcement, don't be surprised at all if all of a sudden the deep state starts attacking him. Raiding his home, the IRS comes after him, whatever might possibly happen here. But I think that the speech that he made, I think that he realized something on that night when he was there, especially with the warm. I was so proud of the people who are supporting Trump that night. I was happy to see the response of the crowd when he was introduced, when he spoke, and how warm the reception was. Because he's an anti-establishment guy. He's not an insider. He's certainly not a deep state. He's not a deep state guy. And I think people are thrilled about that. I think people are excited about the fact that we have another guy on board who's willing to go after this wacko cabal that we have within the government. And I think it had a very profound effect on him. That's just from my observation and the way he talked. He's never had that kind of a reception anytime in his life that I know of. He's always kind of been a little bit on the outside. Never really been warmly accepted by the Democrats. Because he didn't play ball with them. Wasn't going to go along to get along. He had some issues. They called him a wacko for it. So here we are. I think that we're entering a very interesting time. At the same time, I think that the powers that be are not going to be happy about any of this. Now, I'm going to try to have a live show tomorrow morning. That's the plan. Thursday morning, there'll probably be a show. Friday morning, right now, it looks like Friday morning, there will not be a show. If there is, that means I am not at the boat, because we're planning on heading out on Friday. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, continue to pray for our nation. Just things seem to be moving along very promisingly. And of course, the lawsuits against Trump all falling apart, having all kinds of issues there. Jack Smith, very upset. It's a good thing. We'll talk about more of that tomorrow. God bless. Have a great rest of your day, and I will try to get back live tomorrow from the worldwide headquarters. God bless.